the latest news, history, and analysis from the perspective of the first Christians.
Tune into the FBN, worldwide, 24/7 radio stream.
One of the things I like about the Gospel of the Lord is how effortlessly it disposes of so many controversies and heated debates, grand, interwoven, deep, dark mysteries, and artificially constructed theological tar pits. And for today's episode, it'll be a good idea to pick up a free copy of the very first Bible. You can pick that up at theveryfirstbible.org, and you'll be able to follow along a little more closely today. One of the more interesting fights that Jews and Nicene Christians have, but rarely talk about, is the lineage of Jesus Christ. Both are on shaky ground here, and that's why they both dance around it. Sometimes it's better not to air dirty laundry, especially when it's dirty laundry that both sides find benefit in, but at the end of the day, only one side can be right. The loser of the debate wins the realization that they have a false god, and their faith has been based on a fraud for millennia. Now, for the Nicenes, they rely on Matthew in large part for historical lineage, and Matthew, as you know, starts his gospel with a jaw-dropping, endless list of Jews that begat other Jews, tracing them all the way back to some original Jew that Matthew's audience would have been familiar with. It reads like a guest list at a bar mitzvah. It was supposed to be compelling proof that Jesus was a Jew, and this Matthew gospel was written with that express purpose. The secondary goal of Matthew was to convert Jews to Christianity. You'll notice each gospel is written to connect with a different audience. Matthew for Jews, John for Greeks, etc. Because not targeting your audience with the correct narrative can have disastrous results. And I suppose we can use the Apostle Paul's sermon on Mars Hill in Athens as a pretty good example. The secular philosophers there pretty much laughed him off the stage. Can you imagine reading off one of Matthew's bar mitzvah guest lists and telling the bloodline of Aristotle, Socrates, and Plato that God was secretly the celestial exclusive real estate agent for Jews? It's ridiculous. But what if Paul had used the Gospel of John instead? A gospel that used the language and philosophy of Logos. Perhaps we would have seen a more successful outcome. We also notice that in the retelling of the Mars speech in Acts, that Paul doesn't mention anything about Jesus' lineage. Nothing about a miracle virgin birth of who he's telling them is the Son of God. Picture it. Here's your big chance to lay it all out for the top big brains in Greece, but you don't even bother with a detail like where Jesus came from. From this same retelling in Acts, we are told that Paul even begins his speech by saying, and I quote, "I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you," unquote. And with this statement, Paul has just fired a shot across their bow, ridiculing them for being ignorant and worshiping an unknown God, mocking their very understanding of reality. Well, you better have something to back up your claim about Jesus and how we know him and how he got here, because you just accused your audience of having an unknown God. It's time to put up or shut up. Instead, according to Acts, Paul says nothing. Does that make sense to you? And by the way, the virgin birth story isn't in any of Paul's original epistles. Colossians, Thessalonians, Corinthians, Galatians, Romans, none of them. Not a single syllable. So something isn't adding up. But don't worry, lots of things aren't going to be adding up by the time we get done here. So we have the Nicene lineage story, and we just saw also the lineage non-story, the alleged miracle birth of the Son of God that doesn't even get mentioned in the most important speech ever given by an apostle to a Gentile crowd. Okay, let's take a look at what the other side says about Jesus' lineage. What do these Jews have to say about it? After all, these Nicene Christians say Jesus was a Jew and born of a Jewish woman. You would think the Jews would enthusiastically accept this story. I mean, these Christians are saying that the very Son of God is a product of your specific race and bloodline. Wow! I mean, talk about winning the theological lottery. And for the self-chosen and self-worshipping Jews, this would seem to be a message right up their alley. Finally, a reason to start twirling those magic chickens and celebrate. Except no, they don't. They don't celebrate. They think the entire story of Jesus being the Son of God is not only not true, they say it's a blasphemy. Remember that bar mitzvah list of Jews begetting Jews, allegedly proving that Jesus was a Jew in Matthew's gospel? Well, nonsense. All of it, say the Jews. And they've been saying it's nonsense for the last 2,000 years. Doubt me? Find a random Jew and ask one. They'll all tell you the same thing. Now, this is a family show, so I won't get into the details, but suffice it to say that according to the Jewish Talmud, Jesus was the son of a female hairdresser or weaver who was having an affair with a Roman soldier. They go into some detail about this person also being a magician that dabbled in the dark arts and that he was a heretic, a yeshiva student gone bad, a teen rebel. Now, both sides agree that the Jews wanted Jesus dead. That part isn't really in debate by anybody. They wanted him gone. In fact, before he was finally crucified, we read in Mark that they tried to throw him off a cliff, and in John we read they tried to stone him. Had he been an ordinary human, he would have died twice before even getting close to Calvary. In fact, Jesus even says to them, quote, "You seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you," unquote. So let's dispense with the Judaizer apologies of, "Oh, the Romans killed him." That's the language of deceivers and liars, and you shouldn't waste your time with them. Now, this is one of those stories where there either is no hole, or the rabbit hole goes so deep that this episode will drag on for weeks. But I'm going to try and find a happy medium. But we are going to run a little bit long because it's important that you get the full subtext and flavor of what's going on here. This lineage question strikes at the very root of an important belief system, so bear with me. What's clear is that both sides can't be right. There's no way to square that circle. One of them is wrong. Or maybe we'll find out they both are. But first, let's not be so quick to just gloss over the perspective of the Jews on this. They know this Jesus isn't their Messiah. That part is crystal clear to them. But is it because they decided his ability to raise the dead wasn't good enough? What, he didn't heal enough lepers to be considered a candidate for the top job? He didn't cast out enough demons or feed enough people through miracles? Well, let's think about that. Maybe these Jews just really have high standards and Jesus just didn't make the grade. I know. Let's compare Jesus to their list of actual rabbi and Sanhedrin approved Jew messiahs. Let's contrast and compare. Now, remember, these messiahs were proclaimed by their top rabbis to be the real deal. Other Jews fought and died and even committed crimes based on the rabbi's approval of these messiahs, these earthly kings that were going to rule over the goyim. By the way, there were about 40 of them over the last 2,000 years that we know of, and one of them was called Moses of Crete. And he convinced Jews that he and they were going to part the sea and magically travel back to Jerusalem. They all drowned. And every one of these messiahs turned out to be a fraud. Okay, I think we can all agree that it wasn't a matter of standards. They knew of Jesus' power. They knew it wasn't of this world. Raising the dead isn't something you do using a deck of cards and a volunteer from the audience. He would be anybody's perfect definition of a messiah. But the Jews tell us they rejected him. And guess what? They're lying. A surprise, I know. You see, Jews didn't reject Jesus. Jesus rejected the Jews, and they killed him for it. It sticks in their craw to this day, a seething hatred and anger burning inside of them. And it's been burning like that for 2,000 years. That hatred manifests itself through them spitting on Christians traveling through Israel. It's a common everyday occurrence, not anything you'll see your TV evangelist talking about, though. They even spit when walking past a church. It's a reflexive hatred of Christianity and anything that symbolizes a faith or memory of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't that he simply rejected them, and this might help explain how somebody can stay angry for 2,000 years. He didn't just say, "Well, I reject you, you can't hang out with me today." You see, it was the way he did it, and the specific audience he did it to. You have to understand this audience. The Romans portrayed them as having an effeminate, hyper-emotional personality, brooding, pensive, scheming, self-absorbed, and introspective, but also prone to wild, terroristic behaviors. I'll give you an example. After the Romans finally and permanently crushed the Jewish rebellion of 132 AD, they celebrated by minting special victory coins emblazoned with the words Judaea Capta, or Judaea Captured. On one side of the coin, the Jews were depicted as a brooding woman crouched under a palm tree with a victorious Roman soldier towering above her. And I'll make sure we have images of that coin for the video version of today's episode so you can see what it is I'm talking about. Now that I've set the mood and you have a slight understanding of the people that Jesus personally rejected, let's take the next step. Let's read exactly what he said to them. Now, normally I quote from the very first Bible of 144 AD. Most of our listeners are familiar with it by now. It's the original Bible with the Gospel of the Lord that was the bedrock of faith for millions of the first pre-Nicene Christians. Christians like the Marcionites. But I'm not going to use it here. I want to illustrate my point using the same exact Bible that anybody can pick up right now, the modern Bible. I want to give doubters every advantage on this. Now, we mentioned the Gospel of John earlier, so let's use that. The low-hanging fruit of examples off the top of my head would be John 8:44. Most people have heard of it, where he tells the Jews their father is the devil. But you know what? It's too easy. It's true, but I don't think it's what drove them into a terroristic, bloodthirsty frenzy. I want to get into the stuff that really made them burn hard, because this is when they knew not only was he not their Messiah, this is also when they found out their God was a fraud. When Jesus personally told them, the Son of God told them, they didn't know God, and God didn't know them. Jesus comes right out and tells them they're a bunch of self-worshipping, satanic nut jobs that will never see heaven. Sound harsh? Oh, it is. So harsh that for the last 2,000 years, they start spitting whenever they see or hear the word Jesus. Now, I don't want to oversell this, but I want you to be clear about the subtext and context as Jesus is telling them all this. Jesus isn't some random guy wandering around Jerusalem. He's a religious rock star, the biggest one of all time. Thousands of people follow him around the country. He raises the dead. He cures blindness and lepers. He casts out demons. People merely have to touch his robe and they are healed. This is the Son of God. His powers are not in question. There's no debate that what he does is real. And he has something very important to say to these Jews. Let's go to the tape and John 8 and read from a Q&A session he has with some of the rabbis in a Jerusalem synagogue. This is a Q&A he has right before they try and stone him to death because of the answers he gives them. Now, if you're keeping score at home, this would be their second attempt at assassinating Jesus Christ, by the way. The first attempt was in Nazareth, when the Jews tried to throw him from the top of a cliff. So he says to them, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your Father. Now, we know the Father of Jesus is God, our Christian God. Who is this other Father? This other Father he says the Jews have. Well, let's find out. He continues, If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, Jesus is literally telling them they are Satan's children. Let that sink in and marinate. Has anything changed between now and when he said that 2,000 years ago? Would he have a different answer if he was doing the same Q&A with them today? No, nothing has changed. So he continues, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, He is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Now, here he tells them that all of their 613 Hebrew laws are meaningless. All of their puffed up and self-important high priests and rabbis and Sanhedrin courts, all of it is pointless because for thousands of years they've been praying to Satan instead of God. And who's telling them this? The literal Son of God himself. Then he saves the deepest cut for last, obliterating any hope that they have in authority higher than, greater than Jesus Christ and his Father. Truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. And now you know why they insult his memory like a spurned woman in the Talmud, and why they spit on Christians today, and why they killed Jesus. And at the end of our little story, you are left with a false dichotomy, a false choice. On one hand, you have the Nicene Christian version of lineage, which says Jesus was simply another in a long line of Jews, these same Jews that Jesus just got done telling you don't know him or his father. And on the other hand, you have the Jewish version of Jesus' lineage, which is that he's a spell-casting magician and son of a common Roman soldier. But there is a third way. It's called the truth. And we find it in the first sentence of the Gospel of the Lord. And here it is. In the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Jesus descended into Capernaum, a city in Galilee. That is his true lineage. He arrived here directly from heaven, descending from heaven to Capernaum to begin his mission on earth. And when he completed it, he left earth the same way he arrived. He ascended back into heaven. And now you know the rest of the story. I'm Darren Kalam, and we'll see you next time on the First Bible Network. Thank you.